There is a radical element that you can't control, which is how the person is going to react to you and feel, and it's scary. You know, I get that. But also, it's just like, girl, take a chance. Come on. Like,
I know. Now I'm hearing that ABBA song. I'm into it. But that's, you know, we have to be in it. We need.
Hello, and welcome to Revel, a collection of Realms comedies, dramedies, and rom-com oddities. My name is Rhoda, and I'm here with Nicole, who produced the show you're about to hear, Elixir.
Stay tuned in after the show for some behind-the-scenes discussion between Rhoda and I, where we talk all about reluctant romances, specifically overthinking when falling in love, and love in a fantasy world. We'll be right back just after this.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Harlow crossed his arms and surveyed the damage. The former owner of Judging Your Cover had taken it upon themselves to trash their own Elixir production system before Harlow's men caught the asshole. Harlow's second-in-command clapped his shoulder.
Congratulations on another successful venture, boss!
Harlow gestured angrily at the destruction.
It'll take weeks to get this place in working shape.
Your mystery backer will understand.
None of his men knew his backer's identity. His second slid his hand away and brushed dust from his sequined leopard print jacket instead.
Louise was here tonight, but boss, she was acting strange, almost like she didn't recognize me.
A vein at his temple pulsed.
Yet you still let her get away.
I can ask the captain's iron shoes if they've seen her.
Harlow watched the man go, jaw clenched so hard it cracked. He wanted Louise found. But he had bigger fish to fry right now. For this to work, he needed all the old-school apothecaries out. Which meant the next person on his hit list was Vera Reeves.
Realm presents Elixir. Episode 6.
The jaded rose looked the same way it always did after closing. When Vera popped the till, she found Rolf had even done the books for the night. Decent night. Too bad it might be their last. Without Maud and her loyal iron shoes, there was no one to guarantee their safety. No promise that what had just happened to JJ's club wouldn't happen to Vera's family next. Elsie hovered in the doorway.
Is there anything I can do?
Go back in time and stop this from happening?
Great, I'll fire up the time machine. You pack a lunch.
Vera didn't have the energy to laugh. Slowly, Elsie crossed to her side, touched her shoulder. Elsie's nearness brought another memory rushing back. We kissed. If she concentrated, Vera could still taste the strawberry sweetness of Elsie's mouth. It had been a long time since Vera had kissed anyone like that. Elsie was tempting, yes. She was also a mistake. Vera shut the till harder than necessary. It's late. and I've got work to do.
What's the plan?
Plan? She had no plan, only desperate hopes. Write to all the remaining apothecars, warn them that Iron Shoes belong to Harlow now. Then, shut her for a few nights in the hopes things cool down. Up security protocols. She started forward, but Elsie blocked her path.
The man I met tonight said that Lou stole some intel from Harlow. Plus, he called Harlow our enemy. Don't you see? Lou and her social club could be just what you need. A way to stop Harlow.
Elsie has a point. That was the calm, rational side of her mind. The other half was too focused on the narrow distance between their bodies. Don't get distracted, Reeves. Maybe it's better if we both focus on our own priorities from now on, separately.
Why? Just because we kissed?
Don't be silly. Air. She needed more air. It was one kiss, Elsie. It doesn't mean anything.
Why are you acting so defensive then?
Because. Vera shut her eyes. Everything is falling apart. My business, my family. I have enough problems without courting distraction. When Vera opened her eyes again, Elsie was smirking.
Sounds like you're the one who needs to remember it was just a kiss.
She should back up. But suddenly, all that air Vera had wanted a moment ago no longer seemed appealing. Elsie's smirk widened into damn near a grin.
No sense letting some meaningless kiss come between us.
There is no us. Even as she said it, she felt her body tilting toward Elsie. Elsie must have felt this too, her face tilted toward Vera's, full of challenge.
Then prove it. Tell me to leave.
Vera felt the road fork ahead of her, and she knew which way she ought to turn. The smart route. Instead, she bent down and crushed her lips to Elsie's. Mid-morning light had turned Vera's laboratory curtains gold by the time she woke. In the glow, the previous night returned in snatches. Elsie digging her fingers into Vera's hair, her kiss like a drowning woman's. Elsie pushing her backward onto the steps. Vera pulling Elsie down with her, both laughing, and then not laughing anymore, as Vera traced her teeth along the line of Elsie's neck. Ran her tongue over the hollow at the base of Elsie's throat. She didn't remember how they made it upstairs, but they must have, because her next memory was Elsie splayed out on her workbench, Vera's tools pushed to one side, the better for her to kneel between Elsie's thighs, hike up that damned dress, and an arm snaked around Vera's middle, hugging her tight, and she became aware of heat. Vera peered over her shoulder to find Elsie pinned between her and the wall. Elsie shifted. Vera felt every inch of the movement, both their bodies bare, covered only in a thin sheet. With a pang of regret, Vera leaned in to kiss Elsie's forehead, then levered herself from the cot. She'd almost finished dressing when Elsie groaned and stretched awake.
Sneaking off already?
Afraid I've got work to do.
I understand.
Elsie tossed back the covers, and Vera's whole body flushed. Elsie was still naked. Elsie fluffed her golden curls and crossed to the lab table to clear a space.
Should we write to warn the other apothecars first? I can handle that.
Vera ran a hand through her own hair. I suppose, if you really don't mind.
Are you always this bad at letting people help you?
Vera pulled a face. For all I know, you could have been sent to seduce me and steal my secrets.
Vera.
I'm joking. In that instant, Vera realized I do trust her. I've got to talk to the others about last night. When you're finished, meet me downstairs. Vera kissed Elsie's forehead, The moment Vera walked into the bar, however, the guilt came roaring back.
"Were you going to bother telling me you made it home?"
Rolf's voice startled her. She hadn't noticed him in the shadows at the edge of the stage, a newspaper crumpled in one fist.
"Notorious elixir magician stoppered at last,"
read the headline.
"MX Joseph Juliet Taylor arrested."
Vera's breath caught.
"Did the council sentence them yet?"
Rolf nodded at the paper.
"Trial's set for next week. Says in there that JJ can be released to the care of family or friends in the meantime, if anyone's willing to pay a collateral bond." "Shit. How much is the bond?"
$500.
She crossed to the till. Rolf followed.
"Look, I'm glad you're all right, but you know what this means, don't you?"
She nodded.
"Harlow will be coming for us next. We need to sell Vera now, before we end up like JJ, or worse."
The last thing Vera wanted to do was roll over and give up now. Watching JJ lose their club didn't make her want to sell. It made her want to fight.
"There's another option. Harlow makes decent coin from his bars, but not enough to bankroll a play like this. To get the Iron Shoe captain in his pocket? He's working with someone. I've got a bead on a group trying to bring him down. If we can link up with them..."
Rolf made a grab for her elbow.
"Stop. Think about what happens if we surrender now. Harlow will have a monopoly on elixirs. You know he's been messing with the formulas, getting people hooked. If he doesn't need to worry about the Iron Shoes, I mean, source, he could do anything. So we move."
Her jaw dropped.
"Leave? Lock? We wouldn't have to go far. In Quell, apothecary work is still legal.
Because the stream in Quell barely contains enough power for a laughter elixir.
Nothing compares to the Dwymer. But I agree we need to take some precautions. See if Jane is up for visiting her parents in the mountains. Bring Art and Benji too. Vera. And the recipe books. Get them all in one place, with the distillation equipment. Vera."
She lifted her chin.
"Rolf, this is our home. If I have anything to say about it, the Reeves will still be here long after Harlow and his ilk are buried."
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
From the moment Elsie slipped into the bar, wearing a shirt she'd unearthed from Vera's closet, she could see something was up. Rolf and Jane knelt nearby, wrapping glasses in rags and packing them into cartons. So this is what Vera meant by extra security protocols?
Anything too incriminating gets moved into the false floor panels we built upstairs, he waved overhead.
Sounds smart.
Smarter move would be to run.
Elsie started toward another box, but Rolf shook his head.
Why don't you take the accounting files?
She scooped up the files and followed Rolf, Lionel, and two others upstairs into the flower shop. Elsie caught Rolf studying her, a little too closely. Did he recognize Vera's shirt? Her stomach fluttered.
Vera strikes me as very single-minded.
Rolf grinned.
Like a mule. When Vera gets a goal in mind, neither hell nor high water can stop her.
Which reminded her. From her pocket, she withdrew the stack of letters she'd written.
Vera asked me to send these.
Rolf pointed at two stacks of mail near the front of the shop. She laid the letters on the right-hand pile and froze. Sitting atop the left-hand stack was an envelope addressed to Elsabeth Thornley, CO Proprietress, The Jaded Rose, Dockside. Pulse racing, she snatched it up and held it against her chest. Thornley. Had anybody seen this? Heart in her throat, Elsie dug a nail under the flap and eased the envelope open as quietly as she could manage. It contained a single slip of paper.
Elsie, I know you're looking for me. Please stop. One day I swear I'll explain everything. For now, I need you to trust me. Go home. All's Jake here. Lou.
She was still rereading when someone knocked on the iron grate of the shop.
JJ!
Elsie leapt forward. JJ's hair hung in tangled knots, their face wan and eyes bloodshot. Still, JJ beamed and wrapped Elsie in a tight hug, kissing her forehead.
So glad you're safe, princess.
They turned to grin at Vera, who followed them inside.
Breakfast would be divine, if it's no trouble. The food they serve in that prison is criminal.
Rolf beckoned.
No trouble at all. We've plenty of leftovers, since neither of those two heathens made it to breakfast today.
He pointed his thumb at Vera and Elsie.
Do I detect a scandal?
JJ flashed Elsie a conspiratorial wink. Then they and Rolf disappeared, which left Elsie and Vera alone.
How did JJ seem?
Vera shook her head.
If they're convicted...
None of us would be in this mess if it weren't for the Thornleys and their damned crusade.
Lou's crumpled envelope felt like it was burning a hole through her pocket.
Elsabeth Thornley.
She should tell Vera. It was the right thing to do. But after last night... Elsie opened her mouth. No sound came out.
Elsie?
Vera eyed her with concern. Lou. She still needed to find Lou. After that, Elsie would tell Vera everything. Elsie held out Lou's note.
This came for me today.
Vera read it quietly.
Do you want to go home?
Of course not.
The apothecary held the letter to the light.
Well, in that case, I have an idea.
Perched on the workbench in the now half-emptied lab, Elsie watched Vera work. Sensing her stare, Vera looked up.
Still plotting to steal all my secrets?
Something inside Elsie's ribcage pinched.
Pretty sure I'd need to understand what you're doing first.
Vera waved her over. This recipe enhances the senses. Heightens smell, taste, touch. Vera swallowed the flask's contents in one go. Let's see that letter. Then she raised Lou's note and inhaled.
Wood smoke.
Lots of it.
Elsie frowned, thinking. A few gentry keep fireplaces for show, but most families I know have switched to steam heat. Vera pursed her lips. Dockside's mostly coal, or fish oil, in the less well-off areas. The merchant's quarter runs on wood, though. Elsie bit back a groan.
What are we meant to do? Go door to door asking for Andromeda or Augustine, whoever he is?
She glanced at Vera, just as the apothecary licked the letter. Tasty?
Disgusting.
Vera wafted the letter over her face. There are other scents underneath the smoke. Vetiver, bergamot, but the flavor's nothing like the scent. It's acrid and almost chemical.
I don't get it.
Vera grinned.
It's perfume. Expensive perfume. The kind only a few shops in that neighborhood sell.
Elsie tilted her head.
The man I met at JJ's. He said something about Lou having a signature scent.
Vera snatched up her coat. Come on. While my senses are still amplified, we can check the perfumeries for a match. Elsie hesitated.
Are you sure? I can go by myself if you're needed here.
Vera waved her off. You were right last night. Our best bet at stopping Harlow is to go on the offensive, which means we need any information your sister's got. The sooner the better. The handful of times Elsie had come to the merchant's quarter, she'd been in her parents' carriage, escorted by family servants. The quarter appeared very different on foot.
Why are so many businesses failing? She asked.
Some were boarded up, plastered in forlorn sale signs. Vera side-eyed her.
Guess you don't read many newspapers up in Clifftop, huh?
Elsie shrugged.
I prefer novels.
That's a privilege.
You know that, right?
Only people with the power, resources, and coin to isolate themselves can choose to ignore reality.
Elsie's insides squirmed. Maybe she'd ignored things in the past, but she could act differently now.
Fill a princess in?
For starters, tourism is down. Then there's the revenue the council has lost due to the ban. When my business was legal, I paid taxes. Now, all the profit from elixirs lines people like Harlow's pockets instead.
I never thought about it like that.
The first perfumery they reached was packed with customers and scents. Vera led Elsie away, face buried in Elsie's shoulder.
Definitely wasn't from here. That shop smells like nightmares incarnate.
Elsie suppressed a laugh. What do I smell like? Vera's nose tickled the crook of Elsie's neck. The first warm day in spring, when you get a breeze off the lake in just the right direction. Despite the late afternoon chill in the air, Elsie's cheeks warmed. Finally, they reached a shop on Main Street, its bright window plated in gold. De Bruyn and Sons.
Hang on.
Elsie tugged Vera to a halt.
The De Bruyns have a seat on the city council.
Count Ivan, his wife, and their son.
What was his name again?
The hairs on the back of Elsie's neck rose, as if she were being watched. Vera must have sensed it too, because she glanced along the street.
Let's be quick. Something about this sets my nerves on edge.
Elsie murmured an assent, and they ducked into the shop. The shop girl didn't appear much older than Art.
Can I help you, ma'am?
I'm trying to find this perfume my friend loves. She couldn't recall the name, just the ingredients.
Vera rattled them off.
Let me check in the back.
Vera.
She nudged her and pointed. An entire shelf had been dedicated to one popular brand of perfume. Andromeda. Sure enough, several shelves over, Elsie spotted another brand. Augustine. She led Vera to the Andromeda display case first, uncapped a bottle. Vera grimaced and shook her head slightly.
Not it.
Vera nodded at a shelf behind the counter, near the till. Elsie caught her breath. The shelf held a single bottle of perfume. Lusitania.
Lou?
Before they could say anything, the shop girl reemerged.
We need to close soon, I'm afraid. Perhaps you could help me first. I was interested in this scent.
Elsie led the shopgirl away from Vera and pointed out the smallest package she could see, located on a shelf high out of reach. The shopgirl bravely suppressed her irritation.
Let me just grab the stepladder.
She scrambled up and had just reached the ladder's peak when Vera tapped Elsie's shoulder. One glance at the triumphant light in Vera's eye, and Elsie's heart leapt.
Thank you for your help, Elsie called.
They both hurried out of the shop. Only then did Vera slip the bottle from her pocket.
I can't believe you stole it.
Vera winked. Don't tell my family. I meant to be a respectable criminal. This is the scent your sister was wearing when she wrote that letter. But there's something else. There's Dwymer water in this.
It's an elixir?
Not the kind you're used to. Do you trust me? Elsie nodded without hesitation. Vera spritzed the perfume across Elsie's face. Now breathe in. Her nostrils tickled. When she opened her eyes, everything seemed normal. Then she gasped.
Vera, look!
But of course, Vera didn't see it. Main Street bustled with people, horses, and carriages, all stomping, trotting, and trundling over the cobblestones. Underfoot, though, a handful of those cobblestones now glowed.
It's pointing this way.
All right, into the creepy alley we go. Other marks graffitied this alley besides the glowing ones. One symbol in particular made Vera pause. I've seen this before, in the Dockside Market. The symbol depicted a blood-red council chair with claw marks through it.
That's the Reformists' logo.
The Reformists? I thought they were just a group of disgruntled kids.
That's what the council wants everyone to think. But the movement has grown by leaps and bounds since. Rumor has it even a few council members are sympathetic to their cause.
Elsie scanned the wall again. The Reformists' logo itself didn't glow, but a small circle on a brick nearby did. She reached out, tentative, and felt an actual metal knob resolve in her grasp.
There's a door.
Maybe we should think about this for a second. But Elsie was already rotating her wrist.
It's unlocked, she exclaimed. Elsie!
A hole opened in the brick wall. Before she could move, something dragged her inside.
Hi, and thanks so much for listening. We had a really, really big episode, episode 6. Nicole, tell us about it. What happened?
Oh, so much happened. First of all, romance hookup. You get the hookup, and then a classic, I can't afford distractions right now, which is how you know it's real, because you feel the need to say it. And then we get a big twist, you know, Lou's letter that says, don't come looking for me, which I don't know. It can mean a lot of things. It can mean that someone forced her to write it, or she might be in more control of her fate than we thought. I love the detective work that we see here. And yet another cliffhanger just keeping us on tenterhooks.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, let's talk about this internal tension with Vera's, like, I can't afford distractions. I can't do this right now type thing, which mm-hmm. is just, like, so annoying and so great, because it's way more interesting to have an internal struggle keeping you away from pursuing a romance than it is, like, some bad guy keeping you apart, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, you are the bad guy. You are kind of getting in your own way of this whole thing. And mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. Do you think it's justified? Like, what's all the stuff she has to do that she can't fall in love?
Well, I think that she's been hurt, who, you know, or is afraid of being hurt. Her dad was taken away from her. The bar is her life. The jaded rose is her life. She thinks that her dad is that's what mattered most to him. And so she just wants to protect it from Harlow. And Elsie could be the person that just moves her away from that goal. But it's like, yeah. It's so classic, because it's like, Or Elsie could be the one that helps you with that goal. But instead, you're like creating more work for yourself by being like, no, like I can't, you know, and it's like you can and you're afraid of the fact that
I think that's why I like this trope so much, is that it boils down to the most pedestrian emotion you can have, which is fear. You know, mm-hmm. like, you're just like, I'm too scared to pursue this, so I'm going to create a whole suite of rationalizations that's going to justify me walking away from something that's like super solid. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that there are romances. This is not a romance that would be bad for you. There's romances you should walk away from.
Yes, exactly.
That you should be wary of. But this one is like, you know, Vera in her own head about bullshit. Again, you know?
And it's also like a very classic. You're worried something won't work out, so you make it not work out. You're like, I can't stand the uncertainty. And I think that all of us have that in some ways. Like, I don't, like, if you, let's just say hypothetically, you wanted to be a painter, but you're worried that you're going to be bad at it. So then you never pick up a paintbrush or like try a class because you're just like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. And then you never paint. Like, it's that classic self-sabotage that you see a lot in like various areas of life.
Yeah, because you want it to be really good.
Yeah.
I could see this character, because she's exercised so much control in her life, mm-hmm. like having this one thing that is like free form, just mm-hmm. on the fly, being created between two people. And like there is a radical element that you can't control, which is how the person is going to react to you and feel. And it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. But also just like, girl, take a chance. Come on. Like,
yeah.
I'm into it, but I'm also annoyed.
I know. Now I'm hearing that ABBA song. I'm into it. But that's, you know, we have to be into it. We need the conflict to keep it going, you know? And I mean, it always brings you to romance and fantasy. Like right now, there's such a heightened interest in romantasy, which is one of my favorite genres. Rhoda and I have both worked in YA fantasy, which is populated with a lot of this romance mm-hmm. and fantasy. And it's just like it allows. There's something about, let's talk about it. Let's like dissect what it is about romance, specifically in a fantasy world, that feels so satisfying versus like a more contemporary set one.
In the simplest terms, like falling in love feels like magic. Right. So you have like these natural complements to one another, is that there's something mm-hmm. Otherworldly about, especially first loves. But, you know, what's surprising about falling in love multiple times throughout your lifetime is that it always feels seismic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it always feels like there's something that you're unlocking and some kind of new found divinity and mm-hmm. brightness in the world. And so, I don't know. I think that like pairs really nicely with fantasy, which has, its own sense of heightened reality and magic. What do you think?
I love how you went metaphorical and like into the deeper meaning. I was immediately like, you have these, depending on the fantasy, you have these outrageous threats, which makes everything so heightened. You're like, the villain's vanguard is about to break into the castle. And like, then you've got one character like standing in front of the door of their love, like trying to fend them off. Like there's just this element of stakes and a dissonance from reality that allows you to like just lean into the headiness of it and like the
of
the passion of it,
because you're just like, there is no one storming the castle, right? But like, I know what you mean, because it feels like, it does feel like life or death every time you fall in love, every time you break up, every time, like it's so intense and consuming. And it's nice to have that paired with actual stakes instead of like, well, now I have to go to work. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So, you know, you like deal with a heartbreak and you're like, I can't get out of bed or like make food. But it's just like, you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Like this character needs to get their sword out and like fight through like 9 guys to get to.
I know. Well, it's escapist too. And there's like an element of you could lean into the massive declarations there. Like, I would do anything for you, even go on this quest to save the realm. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And What I actually like about Elixir so much is that it has like a, almost like this grounded city feeling to it that's familiar to our world, but also has these heightened elements that allows you to have the best of both contemporary and fantasy romance.
Yeah.
I'm so excited and also a little worried to see who dragged them through the door. Rhoda, thank you so much for talking to me about this.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Revel on Realm. You can find more shows like this one on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
Revel is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Audio editing by Kaylin West and Sam Bagala. Theme music by Hashem Asadollahi. Featuring performances by Hashem Asadollahi, Josiah Lamb, Alan Ferber, and Mike Forzano. Theme music mixed by Justin Morell. This season of Revel is hosted by Rhoda Baeza and Nicole Otto. You're listening to Revel, Elixir. Created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.
Elixir is written by Ellen Goodlett and performed by Keeler Lee, Marin Miller, and Ava Mag. Produced by Nicole Otto. Executive produced by Molly Barton. Audio editing, sound design, and theme music by Amanda Rose Smith.